Hey everybody, this is Tiffany Carlson, and you're listening to No Free Rides, brought to you by EasyStand.com. They are the makers of the best standing frames basically available. Check them out if you are interested in standing still, and you can, EasyStand.com. Hey everybody, today is June 29th, 2012. This is our official show of the month of June, so super glad you're listening. We are the Disability Podcast, so check us out. Make sure to look at our past shows if you've never listened before. This is almost our 70th show. We're really close to almost 70 shows, so love doing the show. And today we have a really great lady, a really beautiful lady joining us. She lives in Portland, Oregon. She's a brand new resident of Portland, Oregon, but she's from Chicago, and her name is Rebecca Torres, and I have a minor in Spanish, so I'm allowed to pronounce it like that. Originally, her family's from Mexico, and she's beautiful, and she's 30. She's got a great story to tell. I'm not going to give it all away, since you got to stay tuned for the interview, but basically, what I love about Rebecca Torres and why she's joining us today, other than the fact that she's super upbeat and positive, and I love to have people like that on the show, is that she is really into yoga, adaptive yoga, and she's got a great story about how she got into it, and finding a studio, finding a teacher that wanted to work with her. And she's also a fashion designer. She has a degree in fashion, and she happens to be the founder of Backbones, too. A little detail. A really amazing nonprofit that basically provides free support to people with spinal cord injuries, and her family started this a few years ago. Backbones, really great name, and what they do is even cooler. So, and also, did I mention she's a C5-6 quadriplegic? That's another little detail I forgot to add in. You know, she's so much more than just being paralyzed, and I always hate to start when I describe people on the show, this is her name, and she's a paralyzed person. That isn't the defining feature of someone when they're paralyzed, and so I don't like to use it right away when I first describe somebody, and neither should you. That's a little PSA for the day. So make sure you stay tuned to hear basically Rebecca's amazing story, and from basically the start of her journey, from breaking her neck when she was only 15 in a car when she was in Mexico. She was in the back seat sleeping. To where she's come from since that day, a long journey, as you can imagine. And she's done so much with her life. Love it. So we're going to be joined by Rebecca, in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. But first, you guys, it's been a very, very, very hot summer so far. I almost died of heat exhaustion last Sunday. If you're paralyzed, maybe this has happened to you. And if you're not paralyzed, maybe you're going, well, what's the big deal, Tiffany? It's June. It gets hot. Well, when you're paralyzed, you can't sweat, so you can't release your body's heat. So it gets really dangerous. You can basically cook from the inside out like a turkey in the oven. And if you don't pour water on your skin to mimic sweat, or get an AC, of course, or pour water on you, spray water on you, a wet washcloth on you, you're not going to cool off. And those are like the only really good ways you can cool off. And so I was stupid. I was out at a big festival this past Sunday in Minneapolis. It was, the big gay pride festival that every city does. Minneapolis has a big one they do around this little cute lake. And there's a ton of people there. And I got stuck in the middle of a crowd. And it was so traumatic. For me, I started to cry because I couldn't get around people, and no one really understood that I was about to pass out from the heat. I had run out of water. I didn't bring a spray bottle with me. So stupid of me. Always bring a spray bottle with you when you're going out. Always. You never know if you're paralyzed, that is. And so luckily, I pulled over into the Sam's Club booth. Sam's Club, owned by the Walmart people, the Sam's Clubs. They had a booth set up. For Pride, and I'm like, help me, because I couldn't get anywhere in there, the closest shade. And so I went in their little booth, and they had some cardboard left over from the granola bars they were giving away, and they were using the cardboard to fan me off. And then she gave me some of her water, and I was just like completely not even with it at that point. And I finally, though, cooled off. And the rest of the day, despite being cooled off, I felt like I was drunk the whole day long. I felt weird, like I was drinking, and I wasn't at all. And that apparently is a really good telltale sign of a near heat stroke, is confusion. Like, you feel like you're drunk or something like that. So, super scary. It was the first time since I've been paralyzed all these 18 years that I've ever gotten that close to almost having a heat stroke. And maybe since I'm now in my 30s, I have to be more careful about it, because I swear I have been out in the heat that long before and it never was that overwhelmingly oppressive. So I don't know what it is, but you have to check, keep in check when you're paralyzed. Don't push yourself over 90 degree weather. Be careful. And when you're going out and you know it's going to be hot, be smart. Put like several bottles of water in a bag on your chair. Bring a spray bottle with, and also bring a washcloth that you can get wet so that you can put it on your brow or on your neck, which are really great places to put it, and it helps you cool off fast. So that's my scary story of since I've seen you guys, and I didn't go to the hospital. I just been really kind of hiding from the sun since then. You gotta love quad life issues, don't you? Oh, so fun. Another thing that happened to me since I've recorded the last podcast is that I had this new PCA that I hired, which PCA, if you don't know what I'm talking about, is basically an acronym for a caregiver who comes into my house in the morning to help me out of bed. And I hired a really great girl, or so I thought, and then on the third time after she worked for me, she totally quit and texted me quitting, saying, quote, "I don't think I would feel comfortable coming back to your house." So here's what I did wrong, guys. So you know out there what to avoid if you find yourself with a PCA like I did, and what I did wrong. And so I ended up hiring someone that had no experience, which isn't always the worst thing in the world. Sometimes you can hire someone that has no PCA experience and train them in and make them the best PCA ever. But sometimes people just aren't, how do I put it, aren't really made to be PCAs. Like, I was joking on Twitter the other day, waitresses make the worst PCAs. And she actually was a waitress. And so it was just too overwhelming for her. She couldn't deal with how personal the job got. And it was really, really sad for me, because it's hard not to take it personally when someone quits like that. But that's kind of how you have to develop a thick skin when you're paralyzed. You have to. You have no other option. So she quit. Luckily, my other PCAs came to the rescue and helped me. And I went back online on Craigslist, like I usually do, put an ad on Craigslist, found another girl who's also, who I believe now will work. She seems really great. Today was her first day. She shadowed my other PCA this morning. So cross your fingers. I won't lose any more PCAs this summer. It's so stressful. I already have a little job I have to take care of, and having to staff my PCAs is another job, and I wish I didn't have to do it, but it is what it is. And also, before I leave, before I stop talking, I mean, and bring on Rebecca, I saw my very first 3D movie, and it was Prometheus on IMAX 3D. And I had been wanting to see 3D all these years, and I finally saw it, and I got a matinee showing, so it was only $10. Awesome. And it was amazing. The instant it started, I was, like, transported out of my body. I've been lately feeling so brought down, you know, the paralysis, you're not being able to feel and move. It can really drive you crazy. And you have to learn to take advantage of what you can still feel. And 3D movies is a really great way to kind of take yourself out of your body and to feel free again, despite being paralyzed. And oh my God, those 2 hours and 5 minutes, that's how long Prometheus is, were the best 2 hours and 5 minutes I've had in a super long time. I love it. I'm in love with 3D movies. So check out Prometheus too if you haven't seen it. Really, really, really fascinating story. If you like the alien movies, it's basically a prequel to that. And it shows you how they basically discovered the aliens. Really awesome. So anyways, enough of me blabbing. I am going to put this on pause for a second. We're going to get Rebecca all ready to go, and we'll bring her on the show. So hold on one moment, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. As I was talking about at the beginning of the show today, I have a woman on from Portland, Oregon, who I've admired for a while now. She was paralyzed I believe, I forget when, we'll go over that when she joins us. That's not as important. What's really important is that she started this great new, not really new, but nonprofit called Backbones, and she's going to be talking about that and why they're so passionate about basically giving free support to people with spinal cord injury. So without further ado, hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Thank you for joining No Free Rides. And how's it going today? And what's going on in your world out there in Portland?
It's super happy today because there's sunshine, actually.
Oh, and it doesn't is it really true that it doesn't get very sunny out there?
Yeah, it's really gray all the time, and it rains. And so today there's sun, and it's making me smile.
Oh, that's good. I love that. I'm the same way. A little bit of sunshine can make everything better. I know how that is. So I was, talking about how, you were injured, and I forget the year, and I could tell the audience how you were injured, but why don't you just tell us? It'll sound better if you kind of, go over it.
Yeah, I was injured in 1995. I was 13 years old, and I was in a car accident while I went on a family vacation in Mexico.
Okay.
I used to drive to Mexico from Chicago to Mexico every year to visit my grandmother, and then we were on our way back, and a semi-truck kind of pushed us off the road, and we flipped over. I was in the back, sleeping, no seatbelts.
Oh my gosh.
I woke up, I had broken my C5.
Wow. That was how you were 13, huh? So, and then I was reading on your bio on your website, they took you to the nearest hospital, and then that's where you were diagnosed, right?
Right.
And did you know pretty much that, wow, this is definitely have a spinal cord injury, or were you not quite sure what was going on at 13?
I knew it was something really bad because I was having trouble breathing, and I was in and out of consciousness, so I was like, something is going on.
That's awful.
The whole time I just thought that it was something, that I just had a lot of weight on my body. I thought maybe one of the car seats was on me or something, I didn't know what was wrong.
Wow.
And when I was in, we were in a little town in the middle of nowhere, and it was a clinic that they took me to. It wasn't even really a hospital.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It was pretty bad.
So how did you end up getting...
We know what's wrong with her, but we can't do anything about it. So it's best that you take her back into the state.
So was it pretty tricky getting someone that's freshly injured back to the United States from Mexico?
Well, my uncle, I don't know what he did, but he somehow found a way to get a jet to come get me.
Oh, my God.
From this place, and they took me to a hospital in Houston, and I was there until my spinal cord the swelling went down, and they were able to do surgery there.
Mm-hmm. So what was your rehab process? Like, everyone has, some people have, I've heard, really short rehab stays, and some people have super extended long ones. And at 13, what was your family concerned about getting you home back into, a regular life, or were you more concerned about just trying to get better and taking as long as possible for that?
We really didn't know what was going on, as probably meant most families don't.
Well, right, yeah.
Sure, you need to stay here longer, or you need to come home now. It was just what we were told was what we did. And I was actually in rehab, inpatient, for about 3 months.
Wow, okay.
And I was put in a halo, one of those halo things around your neck to stabilize my neck. And I didn't get rid of that until after I got home, actually.
Wow. So what was the rehab like? Was it pretty good rehab that you were able to go to up in Chicago, or,
Yeah, it was really good. It was really intense. I'd get up in the morning probably 6:30 or 7, and we would immediately start things, learning how to brush my teeth, learning how to get my shirt on, and it was just relearning all the basics.
I know. And going home is always so difficult. So it sounds like you went home relatively soon, and then did you go right back into high school then?
I hadn't even started high school.
Oh.
It was my 8th grade year, and at the end of my 8th grade year.
Okay.
So I was able to go back for the last couple months, because my injury was on New Year's. And so I went back to school, I believe in April, and I graduated, and then I was able to start high school.
So, I always like to talk about that, when you go back into high school and... How was that for you, the whole, you seem so adjusted now, how did you get from, being newly injured in that age, how was the whole you know, growing up as a teenager, like, in a chair?
It was difficult.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning, you know, before starting high school, it was really scary.
Yeah.
It was the scary part about going back to my school right after.
Mm-hmm.
So that was scary, but
yeah.
We had really good support from the whole school and the community, so I felt really at home going back to middle school. But once I started high school, I was scared that, like, okay, kids that I don't know from other schools are going to be at this high school, and how are they going to treat me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was, I mean, high school's awkward as it is.
Right.
So in a wheelchair, it was a little bit more scary.
Yeah.
But, thinking back now, I think I felt like I did pretty good.
Yeah.
And, I was angry at times to be able to see, like, my friends being in activities that I wanted to do. Like, I always wanted to be in dance and in track. And
I know.
Stuff. And it was difficult to see my really good friends be part of that and not be able to do that.
So, and, you know, after high school, you know, going through that is not easy. I was there. For me, I got hurt at 14, and going back to high school for me was pretty difficult. And I was, you know, so excited thinking, oh, college is going to be the greatest thing, right? Because this is where you're going to be around people that are really open-minded, and you can really kind of find yourself. And with a disability, I think it's even more important, colleges. And you awesomely went into fashion design, which, how did you decide this was going to be your passion in life, you know, as a woman in a wheelchair? Obviously, a lot of people probably don't think of wheelchair fashion, you know, as one of the things I love, but what caused you, what was, like, you know, the catalyst for that?
Well, I've always been pretty artistic as a kid. I would always just, like, draw and make little dresses while I was in class, draw dresses and draw any sorts of doodles, and I don't know. I actually had never even thought of being in going to school for fashion. But right after I was injured, it was like it clicked. I was like, "That's what I want to do."
Mm.
And I don't know why I picked that, because it was it's a hard thing to get into.
It is a hard thing to get into. It is. And where did you end up going to school? What was it like? You know, as a C5 quad, you can't move your hands, right?
Right.
So
I went to a community college outside of Chicago that has a really good program, a really good fashion program, and I did the associate's degree that they have there, and it's pretty intense. Like, they show you pattern making, they show you how to do draping on the dress form, and in order to be part of the show, you have their fashion show at the end of the year. You have to your pieces have to be qualified, and, you know, with a jury and everything. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good, well-rounded program, and I was really scared, because I actually started doing some sewing in high school. I thought that I wasn't going to be able to. I was like, I really want to do fashion, but I'm not going to be able to. Doing the self-pity thing. And
well, you have to be able to make your own clothes, right? That's kind of the thing. If you're in fashion school, isn't that a requirement? You actually have to make the clothes, right?
You have to know how to make it, and you have to make it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the fashion teachers in high school said, "You can sew. Come into the classroom." And this was the first day I met her. And she took me to her classroom, and she had this sewing machine that had a button on the top of it, so you didn't have to use a foot pedal.
Oh.
You pushed a button, and it started sewing, and you pushed the same button, and it stopped sewing. And so I stopped going to lunch after that, and I would spend my lunch in her classroom, and, like, learning how to sew, and she would teach me all sorts of things.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are you learning to sew then? What was the first thing that you sewed?
The first thing, I gave myself a tough project, actually. My first thing that I sewed was an outfit that was a skirt, like an A-line skirt, and then it was a long-sleeved V-neck top.
Wow.
I don't know why I chose that, because doing that is hard, the V-neck, and then sitting in sleeves is hard, too. I gave myself a challenge, but I did it, and it looks good, and I still have it in my basement somewhere.
That's awesome. So what are your favorite, you know, things about fashion? What do you love to create? What, you know, drives you? What inspires you? And, you know, there's so many different areas you can go into, what do you love the most?
I like to create pieces that are really theatrical, mm-hmm. and like I would consider them more wearable art.
Oh.
And like to use materials that aren't normally used for clothing, or if they are, manipulate them so they have different textures. I love textures and lines and different structures, so I really, really enjoy mm-hmm. playing around with fabrics that I can burn and melt, yeah. and they make different.
So, what kind of work have you done since graduation? Are you just kind of, do you sell things through a shop, or do you work? Have you worked for anybody? What kind of jobs have you done?
I actually have not done in the past mm-hmm. year. I have not really done any designs mm-hmm. Because I've been working a lot on Backbone.
Right, right.
After I graduated, I graduated from there, and then I went to school for theater.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of merged both things, and I was doing costume design for some theaters.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I did a lot of costumes for dance.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. See, that's fun to do, though. You know, I always feel like everyone should have some kind of creative outlet, and, you know, and you're kind of doing it together, you know, doing it to get paid, and that's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So you put that on hold, like you just mentioned, for Backbones, which, you know, I briefly mentioned while I introduced you, and, you know, why don't we just talk about that since, you know, you brought it up. I love the name of it, first of all, Backbones. It's a cute name.
I love the name, too.
So, and the pictures of your sister and your mom on your website are just beautiful, and it looks like you have a really great team behind you there. What's the mission of your foundation? It's a foundation, right?
It's technically not a foundation. We don't give out any sorts of grant money or anything to individuals, but what we do is we pair up people. Our mission is to pair up people that have had a spinal cord injury to someone with a similar type of injury, mm-hmm. background, interest, mm-hmm. Maybe age, location, so that they have someone to talk to after they've been injured, and mm-hmm. and that it doesn't necessarily have to always be right after their injury.
Right.
Sometimes people contact us and they're just looking for a resource and they're in their community, or they're looking to talk with someone because, you know, they've got to this stage in their life and they don't know what to do now. Like, for example, if they're becoming parents, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, they want to talk to another parent in a chair, mm-hmm. Things like that. So what we do is we pair them up, and we also do events. We're trying to expand our events to just different cities all around the country because we find that a lot of times people, they ask for to be paired up to make that connection, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily always follow through and make that phone call to
right.
a stranger because it's awkward.
Right.
They're a stranger.
Yeah.
And so we found that having events really brings people out and to do something social, and they meet each other that way. And the cool thing is that, you know, the next day you go on Facebook and you see that they've become friends on Facebook or, you know, something like that. So
that's awesome.
It was really good to see that.
So your events, okay, let's just get this all straightened out here. Your events happen. Now, you're not in Chicago anymore, right?
I am not.
So where do your events happen? You moved out to Portland, Oregon. What brought you out there?
I just decided I wanted to live somewhere new.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. So are all of your Backbone events mainly in the Portland area right now?
No, we have a lot in Chicago. We have some in Portland, and we will be having one in LA at the beginning of 2013.
That's awesome.
Possibly one in Utah later in the year. What? And later next year.
How do you choose your locations?
Basically, we've had people that are volunteers mm-hmm. Kind of say, hey, we need to do an event in my area, and they kind of, you know, mm-hmm. push it through, and we are going to help them. We help them with the support as far as helping them find sponsors and stuff like that.
So why don't you tell us about how you started Backbones? I think there's always a really beautiful story behind that, you know. Obviously, it comes from an important place. What was the drive for you to want to start this organization?
Well, I always thought it was pretty amazing that you can learn so much from someone mm-hmm. in a chair that's, you know, going through the similar thing as you. And I didn't really become friends with other people with disabilities until I was in college.
Really? Yeah.
And I met so many people there, and I learned so much from them. Like, stuff like, how do you take a picture if you're a quad? You know, like, put the timer on the camera. You
exactly.
Know,
like, yep.
It's open a beer, and, you know, stupid things like that. So it was just cool. I just found it amazing to
know,
like, how much you learn from other people. And it's kind of a funny story, actually. I went to a fashion show in Chicago, and I didn't even know that this fashion show was a benefit for an organization called Immerman Angels, which does sort of the same thing that Backbones does, but for cancer, fighter cancer survivors. And so someone told me, they're like, oh, have you met, you know, Johnny Immerman, which is the director of that organization? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, I haven't. And I didn't even know it was a benefit. And they gave me the card. When I went home, I looked up the website, and I saw what they were doing. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, we need to have this. I would have loved to have someone at the age of 13, like another girl to talk to.
Oh, I know. Me too.
And so I was obsessed with their website. I looked at it like for a month, and finally I'm like, I'm just going to go to lunch with Johnny Immerman. And I called him, and we went to lunch, and he helped me. He gave me all these tips, and he helped me start it. And
we
didn't know what to name it. Me and my friends were, and my sister were at Panera.
Yeah.
We're looking through a thesaurus, trying to figure out like a word that meant support and that had to do with spinal cord injury, and we almost about gave up, and then my sister said Backbones, and we were like, that's it.
That's brilliant. So what year was that?
That was in 2009.
Awesome. So you're slowly emerging, right? Because how long, you know, I just heard about you guys like 4 or 5 months ago, but do you feel like you've kind of gotten a lot bigger recently, or...
Yeah, this year has been great. We were able to go out to the Abilities Expo this year, and it's been just really, really great to be able to reach so many people in different cities.
Oh yeah, those are
really helped, because we were slowly trying to do that by, you know, reaching different rehab hospitals, but it was really, really difficult.
Oh,
and
it's hard.
Being able to be at the expos, like, people just come to you. And
great. So you went to every expo this year so far?
We did, yeah.
Oh, that is so...
We went in Chicago, and then in Houston, and where's the last one? San Jose.
That's so great. That's great. So, all right, so basically what I love is that you guys offer free. It's all free, right? You don't charge for any of the support you give, and that's huge, don't you think?
Yeah. And everyone who offers to provide support, they all are just wanting to do it.
Have you been paired with anybody yet?
I have not. I feel like I learn so much from everyone I talk to, so I don't know, I get paired up all the time, I guess.
So, and when you moved out to Portland, did you move with your mom and sister, or are you out there alone?
I'm alone.
Oh my God, how is that going?
It's pretty awesome, I love it.
Wow.
I come from a really, really big family, and everyone's like always together, and I love my family and I love being together, but it's been really great to be on my own too.
Do you mind sharing with us how you're able to make it work with your PCAs and all of that, going to a new city alone?
I put an ad up on Craigslist, actually.
Really?
Before I moved out, to just kind of start looking for people, and then when I moved out here, I interviewed people and really had to, you know, ask a lot of questions and meet with them and make sure that they were a good fit for me. I've found really good people. I found an accessible apartment. And I got a good system going.
That's awesome. Well, Portland has always been a city I've been interested in because there's so many creative people there. They say that there's so many weirdos that live in Portland that if you're in a wheelchair, you're not going to really stand out. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, my God, yes. It is awesome. Like, I've always felt like you get looked at. Like, when I go back home to Chicago, I do feel that I get looked at.
Right.
Here, I'm just another one of all the outcasts.
You gotta love that, don't you? I think there's
some
beauty to that. It's awesome. I really want to go to Portland one day. I'm super jealous. Also, there's another awesome part of you that we haven't even talked about yet, is the yoga that you do.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And I know adapted physical rehab and yoga and all of that has been a passion of yours. And did you start getting into, like, moving your body still and all of that in rehab? Or when did you finally kind of get back into that? Because I know it takes a while to kind of, you know, feel comfortable with, you know, moving your body around again and all that.
Yeah, well, I did, like I said, I did my 3 months of rehab. And then I did about 4 years of outpatient rehab.
Oh, wow.
At different hospital rehab centers and hospitals in Chicago.
Nice.
And then I got to a point where one of the therapists told me, you're really not going to get any better.
Right.
It was like the most devastating thing ever.
Oh.
And I don't know how old I was, probably like 17 or something.
Were you are you a complete injury kind of, or no?
I'm incomplete.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of stopped a little bit, and I've always continued doing, like, range of motion in my legs and, like, just doing weights in my arms and stuff. And that's what I continue to do. I just would do, like, weightlifting with my arms because that's what I could move. And then in 2008, I came across an article with I wanted to go surfing. And I came across an article of Patrick Iverson.
I want to say Ivison. It's Ivison. So Ivison, I don't know, but
I don't know how you
for anybody out there listening, he's basically a 14-year-old paralyzed kid, and he does kind of like skateboarding in his wheelchair. He also does surfing though too, with Life Rolls On, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's
older than that. He just graduated high school.
I know, and he did it, and he walked across the stage, so he's no longer 14, is he? He's 18.
I know.
But the surfing, you mentioned surfing. There's only one place in the whole world that does surfing. It's called Life Rolls On. So yeah, that's who it is with.
I wanted to go surfing, and I found an article of him talking about Project Walk, and so I looked into Project Walk, and I actually went out there for about 3 months one summer, or that summer. And then when I came back to Chicago, one of my friends said, you have to try hot yoga. And I'm always cold.
Right,
and
me too.
So she's like, this hot yoga room is like 90 degrees. You're going to love it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'd always wanted to try yoga, but never thought like it would be possible. And I would think like being in a classroom and the instructor's going to have to help me, and he's going to take time away from the rest of the class.
Right.
No one's going to look at me, and so I didn't even want to try it. And she goes back to me the next week, and she's like, I already told them about you. They're waiting for your phone call. Then I felt obligated to.
Oh, no.
So then I called, and he wasn't there. His name's Corey, the instructor, and he wasn't there. And then I guess they took my number down wrong, and he tried calling me back, and he couldn't get me. So then he found me on Facebook, and he said, I have your wrong number, and I couldn't call you, but I'm really excited for you to come in. And then by this point, I was like, great, now I'm really obligated go and talk to this guy. So I went in, and we just talked for a little bit, and he said to me, I have never worked with a person with a disability. I don't know what I'm doing, and you don't know what you're doing, but I'm willing to work together, and we'll figure it out. If something works, we'll go for it. If it doesn't, we won't do it. And I was like, that just gave me so much confidence in him, even though he said he hadn't.
Yeah, you know.
Because he was so honest about it.
It's beautiful. I think the best thing is just, if he's willing to try it, that's the best thing, you know?
Yeah. And so then he said, are you ready? And I was like, what? Like, today? We're going to do this now? And he's like, yeah, that's what you came for, isn't it?
Oh, no.
So he lifted me out of my chair. He asked me what the best way was to lift me out of my chair. He put me on the floor, and we started doing some breathing techniques and some postures, and I was hooked.
Wow. Well, you're lucky. That one-on-one is pretty badass. That's not cheap, one-on-one yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
For the very beginning when we were learning, he actually didn't charge me.
Oh.
Like, I can't charge you. There's nothing that I'm teaching you. We're learning together.
That's nice.
So it was pretty awesome.
So now do you go to full hour classes? And what's the hot yoga name? What do they call it? Bikram?
It's Bikram, yeah.
Bikram. So
I did one-on-one for a while, and then eventually he's like, you're ready to be in a class. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to teach you anymore unless you come to class.
Aww.
Okay, so I started going to class, and it was great. He's pushed me to do a lot of things that I thought I couldn't. And yeah, now that he's in Chicago, though, but now that I'm in Portland, I found someone to work with here. And
that's great.
And yeah, I can go to class. And usually what I do is I meet with the instructor first and do some one-on-one sessions so they get comfortable with working with me, and then I can go into a class.
That's nice. That's a good idea, because otherwise they're not sure how to handle you. When you're in a class, this is fascinating for me, because I've only gone to all adapted yoga classes. Do they, since the teacher is a little bit familiar with you, then before you show up to the class, do you get out of the chair still? Do they help you on the mat? Because it's not easy with your balance. You probably need him there with you the whole time, don't you?
I actually don't anymore. I've gotten really good at, my core's gotten a lot better since mm-hmm. I started doing yoga, and I'm able to balance in a lot of the postures. But mm-hmm. yeah, they come and they help me switch and transition into different postures.
That's great.
And then and the ones that I am, you know, not as stable, they just kind of stick around, you know, in case I'm gonna topple over or something, and they'll be there.
What's like, so what do you do, some pretty intense stuff, or do you try to take it easy with your legs?
I used to do a little more intense, but I just was told I have osteoporosis, and
yeah.
So now I'm kind of doing the same stuff, but not being so extreme about it.
Right. So what are some of your favorite poses?
I love Hero's pose, which is you kind of like sit on your, like you're on your knees, but like sitting on your butt, your back, and so that really stretches out the front of my hips.
Yeah, that's a great pose.
It's like sitting in a chair that all day, and so just getting in that position is, it's really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's so great you're doing that. I think for a lot of people in wheelchairs, they just would be way too afraid to do what you did, try to go to an able-bodied class like that. That's great that you're doing that. You're making it easier for other people now to kind of follow in your path to do that. So, bravo.
I hope so, because it's helped me so much with pain,
yeah,
with spasms and everything it really has changed my life. Like, I just feel healthier. I'm off all my medication, and, like, I just feel really good.
Wow. How often do you do yoga, then?
I do something at least every day. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm not able to get to a class, I do it in bed.
That's great.
In the morning or at night.
Yeah. That's so cool. Ugh. So now, are you into any other type of adaptive sport or recreation? I can't remember. Is yoga mainly it?
I used to do tennis, and I loved doing tennis, but I just haven't gone back to it
you
in
know,
a long time.
I've always wanted to try that, wheelchair tennis, as a C5 quad. That's so awesome.
And I do it in the power chair, so it's, I
know, that's what I wanted to do. How were you able to play a full game and everything?
Not really.
Okay.
I would play with other people uh-huh. that were sort of my level, and it was more like, yeah, we didn't do full games.
Because
it was still, you know, doing tennis, and it was fun.
So did you do the two bounce rule?
Yes.
Right. You know, I've always wondered if I could do it, but we're kind of the same level, so I thought it'd be fun. Did you even duct tape the racket to your arm, or?
Yeah, not duct tape. I used the athletic tape.
And does it stay?
Yeah, it stays. And then I ended up getting this, like, splint to hold my wrist more stable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after a while, my wrist started hurting. So
okay.
It would hold my wrist stable, and then I would strap the racket into my hand and onto the splint as well.
You use a power chair every day, right?
Yes.
And do you have eMotion rims or anything like that, power assist?
No, I tried them a long time ago when they first came out.
Yeah.
But I never got them.
And what other equipment, you know, I always like to ask people this when they're on the show, like, what other, you know, you have your wheelchair, what other things do you use every day that you just couldn't live without?
I have a reacher.
A reacher.
I drop stuff all the time.
I know. And do you have an automatic bed too?
No, I have a regular bed.
Really? Awesome. Are you able to manage that using like a loop ladder or whatever?
No, I have help to turn.
Oh, that's nice.
And then sometimes I have straps for my legs, but awesome. Like actually doing yoga, I've been able to sort of just kind of be able to hook onto my leg.
Wow.
And I've become pretty flexible that I can kind of flip myself over.
Wow, that's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, gosh. You have so many things going on. So right now, though, your main thing is just running Backbones, huh?
Yep, that's him.
And where do you see the foundation, let's say a year from now? What kind of your ultimate goal? Do you want to get bigger?
I would love to get bigger. I want to be able to have events in all cities.
Mm-hmm.
Around the U.S.
You got to have one in Minneapolis, too, because there's a lot of people with spinal cord injuries here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to find places where, like, we can go and have an event and bring all these people together and just have a good time.
That's awesome.
Not make it be like, we're here and we're going to talk about our feelings. It'll be like, we're here and we're just having fun and we're getting out of our house.
And we're living. We're living and we're still embracing life, right?
Right.
So what's the website so people can check you guys out and all of that?
It's www.backbonesonline.com.
And what do people have to do if they want to, like, let's say, get someone, sent to them or call them? Let's say they're looking for help. What do they have to do to sign up?
There is a form on the website, and mm-hmm. they fill it out, and it's got basic information, like their name, phone number, email, their injury level and like hobbies and stuff. And then what happens is we get the form, I give them a phone call just to find out,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they're a person and, you know, what they're like, what their personality is like, and, you know, what they're looking for, how they want to become involved and who, if they want to be connected with someone.
That's great.
Once I get a feel for the kind of, like, the personality, I try and find someone that sort of matches that. There has been times that at the very beginning when we started, we matched people and they just weren't right. And the person would come back and be like, I don't think I want to talk to that person.
Yeah, have you found that just because you're both in wheelchairs, it doesn't mean we have everything in common.
Yeah.
And I think that, it's important.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. It's all right, though. I think hopefully there were no feelings hurt, right?
No, it was totally fine. He's like, I just don't feel like I click. So.
Have you helped a lot of people since 2009?
Yeah, we've helped a lot of people. And we've had some really cool, we've had kids that were like 10 years old.
Wow.
Paired up, and they were super cute. And then, you know, another girl who was looking to travel to Costa Rica.
Really?
Recently we had a woman who is in her 60s who called in, and she wanted to be like a mentor, and she's like, but I don't want to be paired up with someone who's cranky and angry all the time.
What?
There's been enough of that in my life.
Okay. At least she's honest. At least she's honest.
Yeah, it was great. I'm glad she said that because I was like, okay.
That's awesome. And also too, what are some of your favorite looks that you personally wear, you know, fashion-wise?
I love shoes.
I love that. So you can wear heels too? You make them work?
I actually don't wear a lot of heels. I love wearing flats and sandals and boots.
Oh.
Boots.
Well, and then you wear the boots with the zipper so you can get them on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like laces, so that they're easy to get on.
What's one of your favorite outfits? You know, I've been doing leggings with shorts over them. That's my look lately.
I haven't tried that yet, but I've done leggings with like mini skirts.
Oh yeah,
I really like, and then having like boots over them.
Super
and
cute.
Here in Portland, everyone wears like the craziest things, so you can wear whatever and
really,
it's not even weird.
Like they wear tie dye with like whatever thrown in, and no one even looks at them when they're going down the street, basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of annoying in a way, but I guess it makes you more free that way. You can just kind of do whatever you want to, huh?
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, but I like wearing, like, fun dresses when I get to dress up and go out.
Yeah.
I do wear a lot of yoga pants and just like comfy shirts because I'm always either doing some sort of exercise or
that's great.
Something. So that's my uniform, yoga pants.
Do you have like some good yoga shoes that you recommend?
I usually just like take my shoes off. So
yeah. Do you have any like little cute shoes that you wear though on your exercise days?
I like to wear training shoes, cool Nike ones. Colorful ones.
Oh, yeah. So they're basically like they're just tennis shoes, basically, though.
Yeah. They're just like training or
workout
shoes.
I always ask because, as of quad, I've been using my little Mary Janes from guests, and they have little Velcro straps, and then I can pull them on and off in yoga so people don't have to help me because they're always like, want me to help you with your shoes? And then I got these shoes so I can do them. I'm like, nope, I got it. I got my Mary Janes with their Velcro strap. They're black. They're kind of old, but I it's not easy finding shoes that work sometimes. So it's,
yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
I lost a pair of shoes once, just like rolling around, and I was so upset because they were perfect.
Oh, no. How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I have a lot.
Over 50?
I wouldn't say over 50, but probably.
Oh, that's a good number. That's a good number. Awesome. And so, okay, before I let you go, I told you I might ask you about this. Now, is there anyone special in your life? Have you tried dating?
I have. I didn't get into dating until I got more into college. I wasn't really comfortable with myself.
I know. That's always a hard thing. And what have you learned, you know, from your perspective, and any dating tips out there for people listening if you have a disability? What should, you know, I always give my 2 cents.
To be myself. Like, I've tried the whole pretending I don't have a disability thing.
Yeah, that never works.
It's kind of hard to hide it. So if you just be open and honest about things. And then people feel more comfortable with you, and they're giving them the opportunity to ask questions, too.
Mm-hmm, I know, and trying to not, you know, sometimes you have to be an open book whether you like it or not, especially when you first meet somebody, you know?
And also just not just throwing the person into it right away, being like, hey, this is all you need to know about me.
Oh, yeah, you should definitely work them up to it after, like, 5 or 6 dates or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, but you're currently single.
I'm currently single, yeah. Currently.
And do you want to get married one day and have kids and all of that?
I do.
Yeah.
I would love to have kids.
How old are you now? You're 20-something, right?
I'm 30.
You're 30. Yeah, I know. I'm 32. I know. So,
very soon.
But you still want to have kids. That's awesome. So, I don't know. I'm thinking. I'm just like always going back and forth on it. But I think the more girls at our levels that have kids, the better, just so they can show people that it's possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I go back and forth on it too. I'd love to go through the experience of like childbirth, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if I want to.
I know.
Can just adopt kids.
I know. And actually, I just read this really great article in New Mobility magazine about this paraplegic who adopted a girl, and a whole story about it and how it was hard for him, for the adoption agencies to want to give him, you know, able-bodied little kid, and he was able to raise her. And I think that's just beautiful. He was a single guy too, a single guy paraplegic that raised a little girl. Isn't that a great story?
Awesome.
I know. There's a lot of options, and I think, you know, being you're still 30, so you probably aren't quite sure yet which direction you're going to go in, right?
Yeah. I don't know yet.
Well, eventually, do you think you're going to end up somewhere warm?
I don't know. My family's still in Chicago. I'd love to be somewhere warm, but, you know, every time I've moved away from my family, it seems like every time I call them, they're like, when are you moving back home?
Oh, well, it's probably a worry about you, don't they, being paralyzed? Yeah. I know my family's always calling me.
Yeah, they do. They worry.
They worry.
But I feel like they're kind of used to it, too.
That's good.
Where are you going next?
I think that's great. You know, I think moving away like that is one of the strongest things you can do as someone with a disability to do that. It's not easy leaving your family and kind of forging your own way, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. The first couple weeks, I was like, what the hell did I do? Why did I move? It's been one of the best experiences in my life, and I'm very happy.
I know a quadriplegic that also lives in Portland, Oregon. His name is Ben. Do you know him?
I do not.
Oh, I know.
I do not know a Ben.
He's C5'6", and he moved there from Texas like 5 years ago, too, by himself as well. There's something about Portland, I think, that calls people.
It's a really accessible city, and they're very, like, any services that you need as far as, like, personal care attendants and stuff like that, they're very, very good about it.
Awesome.
I feel like here I haven't had to fight to get services as where I've had to do in other states.
Did you have to establish residency there for a year before you could apply?
No, I did it right away as soon as I got here.
Really? And they let you get on board right away?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I thought you had to live in a state for a year first before they let you apply for anything, really.
Well, I did it right away.
Well, awesome. Well, maybe I'm wrong. That gives me hope because I want to move to Portland too.
We'll come over.
All right, that'll be awesome. We'll have to hang out. So, anywho's, it's been a while here. I gotta let you go, but I'm so excited to actually get to talk to you, Rebecca, and everything. And it's just great. I love that you're doing this nonprofit. I really hope that it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, and eventually, it would be great to see you know things happening in big cities all across the country. I love the name Backbones. And for, yeah, and so I'll post links to all of your websites, your Facebook too, so people listening can visit and check you guys out, all right?
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you for joining me again, and have a wonderful day, okay?
Thanks, you too.
All right, yep, bye.
Bye.